Well, good morning, men. My name is Brian Abdul. I'm from Emmanuel Church out in Durbanville, Belleville area. I also serve on the CTMC committee. This morning's Bible reading is out of Hebrews chapter 2, the first four verses. So Hebrews 2 from verse 1. Therefore, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by the angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression and disobedience received just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. This is the word of the Lord.
Now, my brothers, it is indeed a great joy to be part of the fellowship with you this morning. In fact, I'm sitting here and I can't believe that there are so many men outside of KZN who love Jesus. I thought we were the last prophets holding the fort. And I never thought that of all places, Cape Town, we have so many men love Jesus. I am sitting there and I'm repenting and I'm like, Lord, I get it. I get it. What a joy it is that we could gather, learn together, grow together. And how I love the song that we sang as we opened the conference. My sins are many, but your mercy is more. That many of us come here this morning, we are so conscious of it. My sins are many. I'm not even worthy to be part of this. Maybe I shouldn't be here with all this stuff that I do. And we are reminded right there that even though they are many, his mercy is more. And so as we start today, remember that. Let me pray. Father, we would like to pause for a moment, give you thanks for your goodness, for your love, your mercy. Thank you for the strength you give us every day and all the blessings we take for granted. The fact that today we are well enough to be able to be together here, that we actually look forward to have lunch together because we have appetite for it. And there are many brothers who are ill, who are not able to be here with us. We bless your holy name for this glorious opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today as we begin this session on running the race of faith, it is a real challenge to keep going as a Christian. How do you persevere when life just knocks you all the time? You know, when you try hard and you do your best, but somehow things just not working. Life just knocks you down. And every time you try to get up again and you get it in your back, bah, down again. And you get tired. You sit down and you feel, do I really want to get up again and be knocked down, or should I just stay? You give so much time to your work, but somehow you are not able to satisfy the needs of your family. The budget just doesn't stretch to the end of the month. Your marriage over the years has lost its spark, and it's not great. I'm putting it mildly. And you see that it's not great at home. Your children have not become what you thought they would be when they are older. You've worked so hard, you've put all your ducks in a row, and somehow the ducks are all over the place. Maybe you're a young man, and you work hard, and you've got that beautiful lady, and you lost your job, and now she's threatening to leave. Because someone has a better polo than yours now. And it gets harder. Your daughter, your son is diagnosed with a life-threatening disease. You pray and you plead with the Lord. You cry your lungs out. And the child goes ahead and dies. Do you still say, praise the Lord Almighty, for He is good and His love endures forever? Do you? Do we? When things don't seem to go according to your plan, do you continue to pray? If truth be told, many of us get so discouraged that we begin to wonder if it is even worth it. When the going gets tough, we are tempted to question God's faithfulness, love, and provision for us. And sometimes people go as far as to giving up on God. This morning, I think we can all testify that we at least know one person who was once on fire for the Lord. Or maybe the very same person led you to the Lord, and yet today the very same person is so far away from the Lord. We at least know one person. Somewhere along the way, life just got so hard and so difficult that they lost confidence in the ability that God will carry them through, and gave up on Him. Well, the passage we're picking up this morning is a second chapter. But a quick survey will help you understand why we chose this book. The situation for the people who received this book, they were struggling. They had given their lives to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and the Jewish friends of theirs began to persecute them. And life was unbearably hard for them because they were being persecuted everywhere. I mean, you can think about it. You want to put your CV in the guy. He's a Christian. Yeah, forget about him. Forget about him. Find someone else. And this persecution was also physical. We are told that some of them had lost their properties and some of them had lost their lives. And so this group of men and women were tempted to go back. Because life was so hard, why stick to Jesus if life is so hard when you are with Him? Isn't the whole idea that when you come to Christ, life is supposed to be easy? That if you seek, you will then be well. That if you've been struggling financially, He will provide, for God owns the gold, isn't it? Isn't that the modern kind of gospel? Why must they continue to walk in this faith if God will not protect them the way He protected Daniel from the lion's den? Because they would have known that story, wouldn't they? Why would they continue with Him if He would not deliver them as He delivered the Israelites from Egypt? I mean, you can go on and go on with all these incredible stories where God incredibly delivered His people. Why must they continue if they would suffer like this and God would not stretch His hand and do an amazing miracle to deliver them? And so you can see when they're gathering together, the preacher says, the Lord is good. And no one says all the time. I've just lost my property. Just lost my aunt. I just lost my job. The Lord should be good. You see it? It's just a slight shift. The Lord is not good, but He should be good. Well, he writes the letter to assure them. And that's a very important thing. He's writing to just say to them, remember what God has done for you in Christ. He assures them that Christ is worth their suffering. He encourages them to press on. He says, press on regardless. Don't lose hope. Don't lose confidence. Keep going. And then he also warns them about the danger of going back. He says, don't go back. You've been there. The only reason you came to Christ is because you had learned and discovered what it means to follow Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Don't let the cares of the world extinguish your faith in him. And then he also tells them that Christ is supreme. And his theology has this razor sharp focus on the absolute sufficiency and supremacy of Jesus. He goes on and he compares Jesus with a number of the legends of the Old Testament. And he says, Jesus is superior to them all. Why would you want to go back there? Why? Why do you even think about it? He's not even worth comparing to. Jesus is the real deal. Everything else was pointing to him. Don't go back. Don't even think about it. Your back is behind you. Just focus on what's ahead. He's not comparable. And I'm going to read this. It's not on a booklet, but just hear the words from chapter 1, 1 to 4. The writer says to them, long ago, many times, and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, and through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. And after making purification for sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. You hear that? He says, in those days, we listened to the prophets because the prophets were the mouthpiece of God. But in these last days, God has sent his one and only Son, who is an exact imprint of himself. I mean, as dads, isn't it always amazing and fulfilling when someone says to you, your son looks just like you? He's a spit image. Yeah. And sometimes you look at him and when he's walking in his short and he's got a six-pack and you've consolidated to one pack. And you look at him, he's got nice black beard and yours has gone the other way. And he's trimmed here, there's nothing, and he's got a tree here and you've trimmed here and you've got a tree here. And yet you look at him and you can still see the faint of yourself. Isn't that fulfilling? How much more? You know, the writer says, get it, guys. We've got God in our midst, right there. Why would you want to look back? Why? Look to him, and you will see God. Trust him, and walk with him, and you will see. You will see. Keep your eyes on him. And the problem with the church at the time is that they were beginning to move their eyes from Jesus like Peter did and began to look at their problems. And he says, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Jesus is the final message from God. Jesus is the ultimate priest. You don't need those priests. You don't need them anymore. Jesus is the ultimate priest. So, run. My brothers and sisters, he says, run. Run this race with faith, with perseverance. Run. Run with confidence because of what he has done for you. Run. Run. And keep running. And that's where we got the theme of our conference, running the race. And so the passage that was read this morning is where I want to turn to now. And I promise it's going to be 1.5 hours only and then we'll be done. And in this, he calls them to persevere. All right? He says to them, because of what Christ has done, therefore, which links with chapter 1, we must pay much closer attention to what we've heard, lest we drift away. They are called to pay attention to what they know about Jesus, what he has done. Focus on that. Don't lose sight of Jesus. Pay attention to his salvation, to his message for your salvation. Fix your eyes on no one else and nothing else but Jesus Christ and him crucified for your salvation. Nothing else. And you must be intentional about it. You know, when they say, listen, pay careful attention. Not the stuff we do. When your wife says, honey, please bring milk and bread. And you get home and you says, where's milk? You didn't tell me that. You didn't tell me, man. What are you talking about? I spoke to you and you said yes. Did I? I don't remember saying that. I don't remember. Yeah? Because you heard the sound. But you didn't hear the message. And the writer says, don't do that with Jesus. Don't do that. Don't go to church and be impressed by how amazing the message was when the message would, oof, it's gone. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't go home and your wife says, what did Jomo talk about? I'm not sure what he was ranting about today. Something. It was about Jesus and us running, eh? And that's why I need to run this afternoon, darling. No. You missed the point. Point completely missed. Pay careful attention. And that, for me, was the biggest thing with my son. I always say, you know, my boy, I just so you hear, I'm asking you to wash my car. And then I will pay you after washing it. Because it was often the other way around. Dad, did you say something about payment? Yeah. After the car, oh no, I didn't hear that. Can I please get the cash and then wash the car? And you know who's going to be washing that car if you've paid. I'll wash that car. But he's saying to us, when we come like this, it must never for social gathering. It must be first and foremost bringing our hearts to the Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to say, we are here to listen to your voice. Not so that we may have head knowledge and be able to articulate theological arguments when we are with friends, so that our lives may be changed, so we become more like you. That's why we hear. We want to hear. And we pay attention to that which God is telling us to do. And then he says, if we do that, if we pay careful attention, we will not drift away. In other words, careful attention to God's word will prevent us from drifting away. Now, I live in Durban. And Cape Town is also a beautiful example. And so often, the lifeguards are called to save someone who started well, and they just go up with the wave if they're anything like me. You know, I didn't go to Model C school, so we never learned how to swim. So you go up and down with the wave, up and down with the wave. But every time you are up and down, you are just 30 centimeters into the sea and up and down. And before long, you up and you down, but the feet are not touching the sand. And suddenly, if you don't know how to swim, of course. And then they start calling. But you see, it's gentle, isn't it? Drifting. He carefully uses this word so you don't drift away. It's intentional that he uses that word. He doesn't say, so you don't give up, so you don't drift away. It's not sudden drifting. It's slowly. It's gentle. And it's often not noticeable. But it's happening. And he says to them, pay careful attention so that you don't do that. What do we have to do in order to drift away? The writer of the book says, you have to do nothing. Absolutely nothing. That's all you need to do. Stop going to church because life is just so busy and it's the only day that you have with your family. Stop attending growth groups, Bible studies, because after a long day at work, you're so tired. You go home and you watch TV and the TV watches you most of the time. You stop reading your Bible because you have no time in the morning. Despite the fact that Siri can read the Bible for you while you're driving to work. You surrender your prayer time because the cares of the world have taken that time. The only time you give time to God is only when all the things that you consider to be important to you are covered. And then with your spare time, you give God your few minutes. That is the danger, my brothers and sisters. The church is full of men who are drifting away. And when you talk with them, they are not excited about the gospel. All they see are the possible duties they cannot accommodate in their busy schedule. They're drifting away. In their hearts of hearts, they love Jesus, but just somehow there is so much to do that God knows how much I would love to serve him, but he also understands that my work doesn't allow it. And you know, the funny part of it, I think it doesn't happen in Cape Town, but in KZN, the guys, they say, but when I retire, and in Hillcrest, the people who are more busy are the retired. So when I need a project to be done at church, I don't often go to the retired. Monday they go to the gym, it's bowls, it's bridge, the list is so long that I never able to do it when I was a young man. This is the time to do it. My brothers, don't fool yourself. There will never be a good time to serve the Lord if your heart is not in it. Whatever you say, it's an excuse, like Moses who says, oh, there's no way I'm negotiating with Pharaoh. You know my communication skills. And we do the same. And we drift and drift and drift. But I want you to hear this warning. He says, if you drift away, since the message spoken through the angels was binding, Okay? And Jesus is greater than them. If their message was binding, if every violation and disobedience received its just punishment. And here's the question. How shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs and wonders and various miracles and by the gift of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will and purposes. If you and I ignore such a great salvation, how shall we escape? How shall we escape if we drift away from the gospel? How shall we escape if we neglect such an obvious work of God in our lives? How shall we escape if we hear God speaking to our hearts, but we ignore him because our hearts are so dedicated to those things of the world? How shall we escape if we choose to neglect such a great salvation? And the answer is, we can't. We cannot escape. In Zulu, we have a proverb. If you say something will never happen, you say the sun can fall from the sky and be eaten by chickens. Can you imagine that? The sun falling down from the skies and the chicken having a meal? It's never going to happen, isn't it? It's never. And so the writer to the church in Hebrews, he's saying to you, if you ever go down this road, no matter what your excuses are, no matter what your reasonable reasons are, the fact of the matter is that there is only one thing waiting for you. And that's the wrath of God. And you don't have to go through that. The cross of Christ is there so that we don't go down that road. My brothers, what a glorious thing Jesus has done for us. This morning, we gather just to say to you, keep going. The road might be long, but keep going. The things may not be going according to your plan, but it is going according to God's purposes for you. Keep going. Your friends might be milking it, and you are struggling and you are wondering, why me, God? Well, this is the time to draw near to him. And I hope as we do that this morning, you will be thinking through, how best do I do this? But I'm also conscious that there are people in our midst who maybe have never started this race. But your friend invited you to come to hear this message about the race of faith. And he's invited you because he wants you to enter this. It's a glorious race. And today, maybe it is your day to say, Lord, I've been running away from this race. But this morning I get it. This morning I get it and I want to enter the race. And it's easy to say, now maybe next year. But maybe this is your day. If you've never considered him, come. Don't neglect the call. God is serious about you. He loves every person and he does not want to see anyone perish. That includes you. The church faced real, the modern church faced the real danger. Because men of God have lost passion for Jesus. That so much so, even when we share the gospel with other people, we say, hey, only my hope is in Jesus, eh? We're so defeated that people actually don't even want to do what we say we've got. we are very much like them. And sometimes we end up admiring them and want to be like them. It might be a wonderful time for us to repent of that sin and to draw to Him. Why don't you bow your heads and we'll pray together. Father, save us from the problem of slothness, apathy, and the temptations of just being religious, going to church because it's the right thing to do. Fill us with compassion for the lost and passion for the gospel, that we may truly find the joy in the gospel. May we be indeed, as we cry to you, restore the joy of your salvation in our hearts for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I thought, just before I sit down, we've got the book table there, and we've got people who are way, way more clever, who are able to articulate a whole lot of things better than us. There is this book, Health, Wealth, and Happiness. It's such a good book. I don't recommend it because it's promising that if you follow Jesus, you will enjoy health, wealth, and happiness. But because it will help you understand the biblical view of health, wealth, and happiness. There's one book. It's a good book. Have a look at it. This is on the issue of masculinity. You know, these days, it's almost discouraged. You're discouraged to be a man. Just tone it down. Right? Just tone it down. Richard Cohen is giving us such a clear and compelling view of what it means to be a man of God. A loving, caring man of God. There it is. And I promise, they won't pay me commission for it. Now, I stay with an insurance guy, so yeah, it's given me tips how to do that. The last one. If you want to just read about biblical characters, understand the sacrifices these guys made, the faith they had in God. And they're so different. And they had very different strengths and weaknesses. And yet all of them, we remember, we admire them for one thing. They had the message from God and they faithfully pursued it. It's biblical characters. Good book. It's out there. Have a look at it. Done for a morning.